cherish that old rugged cross? Are we willing to exchange it for a crown? This is something we have to think about. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for each one that's come out. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will not only be with us today, but be with us every time we open your book and read about you. Every time we gather together, Lord, you are there with us. We thank you for that. We invite you into our hearts and our lives, not only today, but every day, helping us to live for you, that we can remember what you did on the cross. And on that cross, O God, you gave us salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. We look at the Old Testament lesson. We look at Revelation. We're going from one end of the Bible to the other. And today, our text for the scripture text, our gospel text, is found in Luke chapter 10, verses 17 through 20. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subjected to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." These were thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at Genesis, we see the beginning of many things. We see the beginning of the sin. We see the end of purity in this world. We see the beginning of when God promised us a Savior. And we find the beginning of the torment of women having children and the beginning of men having to toil amongst thorns and thistles and weeds to make a living for himself and for his family. We find the abundance of life was gone. You know, Adam and Eve had a life in which was pure, holy, and they lived in a garden that was pure and holy, and you could not expect anything any better because God had made it especially for them. Then we see Satan, and we can look at today's world along with that. And Satan comes along. He's cunning, divisive, and he will lie and do anything he can to try and get his own way. And he does that even today. For we see him coming as a serpent. And it seems back in those days of purity that the man could talk to animals and animals maybe could talk back, evidently, because it seems that there was no scaredness or anything between the serpent and Eve. And so let's say it that the forbidden fruit was an apple, because that's what people always like to claim it as. So Satan is out there taking that apple and just shining it up really nice. And he says to Eve, "Look at how beautiful that looks." And Eve looks at it and she thinks, "Wow, that's a nice looking piece of fruit." And then Satan says, "You know, would you like to become wiser? Would you like to know more? You know, take and bite this fruit and you know, did God tell you you couldn't eat of it?" And Eve tells him, God says we can eat of all the trees except this one. And then she adds, and we're not supposed to touch it. Well, if we go back into Genesis chapter 2, we don't find God saying you can't touch it. He just says you don't eat of it. And so she had added a little bit there. So the devil tells her, you can be just like God and just as wise, and you know just as much as he does if you take a bite of this fruit. And so because of the glistening aroma and things from that fruit, she takes a bite of it. Now Adam, her husband, is with her, and she doesn't say, would you like a bite? She gives it to him and says, take a bite, eat of it. So he does. And it says their eyes were opened. They realized they were naked. They realized that they were not in a pure, holy estate any longer. They knew sin had come into them. And so they suddenly, because of their knowing they were naked, they took fig leaves and they made aprons or coverings for themselves to hide. And God comes back every day in the cool of the day, and he had maybe come, we don't know how long this was, but he had probably come many times and talked with them. Now he comes and he doesn't find them. So he calls out, Adam, where are you? And Adam finally, Lord, we're hiding. Why are you hiding? Well, we were naked. Who told you you were naked? Well, did you eat of that tree that I told you not to eat of? Yes. You see, Adam and Eve at that time said they would rather follow Satan and his cunning devices rather than God. And so they gave away the purity and the holiness of God for what they thought was a better life here on earth. We see, as we sang the song, The Old Rugged Cross, I will trade this for a crown someday, because today I believe in that cross because Christ died on it. He died for you and he died for me. He took the penalty of our sin and he took it upon himself. He was rejected and made fun of. He was spit on and he was beaten for us. And he did it all in love because of his love for us. He wanted us to have the glory of God in us. And the only way he could do it was to come and die on that cross. He was buried and rose again the third day. He didn't stay in the grave. The grave could not hold him. The grave could not keep him there long enough so he would start disintegrating, because he was holy and because he was without sin. And sin cannot hold something that is holy. And God says, if you accept me and you live according to my way of living, you can be holy as you imitate me. You can live a holy life. And the Spirit will be in you. And Jesus says, me and my Father will abide with you, and we will lead you, and we will live according to, you will live according to how we want you to live. Physically, we are sinful because Adam and Eve fell in the Garden of Eden. Then we go and we can find in Revelation, it's a book in which I enjoy reading and studying, and I think maybe many people do, and this portion of Scripture talks about a war in heaven. There's already been one war there, and there'll be another one. It appears at this time that God has allowed Satan to still come into heaven, as we would read in Job chapters 1 and 2. And Christ tells us that Satan is still accusing us before God the Father. But the time is coming when he will be kicked out of heaven, never to enter. And that time is very, very close. And when he's kicked out of heaven, never to enter, this is fulfilled, that he is kicked out, and the angels will praise God and saying, today the glory and your salvation and the kingdoms of the world are yours. And it says Satan is cast out onto the earth. The angels in heaven will give God glory and praise because he has finally told Satan and his angels or his demons, you cannot enter heaven again. You cannot come into my presence. And so therefore, you are kicked out, and he comes to earth. And it says he comes in anger, and it tells us too there that we are to remember that he comes in anger and he wants to destroy everything, one last stand to destroy everything God has made. And so we see him coming to earth, and he's already here with his demons, trying to get us to not follow Christ. And as we don't follow Christ, we find we would seal ourselves into condemnation and into hell forever. But if we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior, and we come to him daily and asking him not only to lead us and guide us, helping us to live an imitated life of Christ, one that shows that we are the light of the world through Jesus living in us, that we are the salt of the earth, the one that can give God's word to those who are in sorrow, those who aren't saved and they accept Jesus Christ. And it tells us here that many of them have done that even with their own lives. I like verse 10 very well. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who has accused them before our God day and night has been cast out. Think about it. If you had an angry person come into your house or into your life and was going to live with you forever, how would you be? You would be very distraught. You would be to the point, if you have Jesus as your Lord, you wouldn't want him there. Therefore, you would call upon Christ to take him away. Are we doing that? Jesus says in our scripture today, he says, do not be happy and joyful. You can do that for what you're doing in the work of the Lord. But be more joyful that your name is written in heaven. Is your name written in heaven? Yes, it's written there. When you stand before God's judgment, is he going to look at that book of life and say, I don't see your name because it's blotted out because you have refused to follow me, because you have refused to stand up for me when you should have. And everything you have done will come before you. Your judgment will be swift, and it will be just and pure. You see, those that have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they're going to stand before God, and they will receive the rewards for them standing up for Christ. And even though they didn't have things in this physical life, maybe that they would have liked, or they couldn't do some of the things they wanted, they will find that God has blessed them beyond measure. He has given them, even in this life, a taste of heaven and a taste of an abundant life in glory. And we can see that even today. God gives us joy here on earth as we follow him. Yes, we do have trials and temptations, but we also find that God is willing to give us the things that we might desire that will help us to proclaim his word and to proclaim his glory and salvation. You see, he wants our name written in heaven. And as our name is written in heaven, we know we will have eternal glory with him. and he will say, well done, thou good and precious servant. Enter into the rest of your Lord. And we find that Satan is cast down. We can find that in Isaiah. Talks about Lucifer being thrown down and cast into hell. And the people that's there will look at him and say, you're the one that destroyed or tried to destroy the world, and yet you're no better than us, and you're here in hell with us. And yet those that are in glory and have Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, having the power of Christ in our hearts and lives, even as we live this life, we find that God will be with us, watch over us, and keep us. And yes, as we sin, if we do it willingly, we have to come to him and seek forgiveness. And God says, don't do it again. As he told the woman, he says, go and sin no more. He tells us the same thing. I'll forgive you of your sin, but don't keep on sinning. Don't deliberately be doing what you've been doing wrong when you know it's wrong. And he tells us, I died for your sins. I took the cross and I shed my blood on that cross for you and for the world. I paid that penalty of sin so your name could be written in heaven. God has given us a wonderful life to live in his name. He has given us many blessings. And we can say that without hesitation as we have Jesus living in our heart and in our life. We can pray and say, Lord Jesus, help me to live for you in such a way that I will never be ashamed of you, because if I'm ashamed of you, you will be ashamed of me. And God wants to not be ashamed of us, but he wants to love us as we love him and as we seek to have our sins forgiven. Christ has said, forgive and you will be forgiven. So he calls upon us, and he called upon his disciples back then, and he says, it is good that you could do all of these things. And remember, they did not take any glory for themselves. They gave it to God. They said, Jesus, in your name we cast out demons. In your name we proclaimed the salvation of the world. In your name we healed people. And today, as you visit people and as you talk to people, you can talk to them, as I've said before, you can talk to them about God and they will talk to you. You talk to them about Jesus Christ and the power of the cross that he had, because he died there for you and for me. Because of that power of his name, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth that came and died for us, we have all the glory and honor. And we find so many people don't want to hear that. They'll talk about God and they'll talk about all kinds of things. And you tell them the power is in Christ, in the name of Jesus. And they don't want to hear it. They find all kinds of excuses. But let us stand fast and firm on the word that old cross that Jesus died on for you and for me. He did it to save us from sin, to save us from devil, to save us from going into hell, and to give us eternal life, to give us life more abundantly, and to help us to praise him even here on earth while we're living. And yes, he did not promise us a rose garden, but we do know this, that he will help us through the bumps of life as we go through life. And he gives us the abundance of life. And he has given me more blessings than I deserve in more ways than one. So many blessings. And He keeps on blessing us. And I can say this, as He has blessed me, I want to share those blessings with other Christians. I want to share those blessings that God has given me with all of us who walk with Christ. And He's given me a helper to help me. Praise the Lord. So, God is merciful and gracious. And I thank Him for the blessings He has given me and the new blessings He has given me to go forward in life. Let us never be ashamed of the cross of Calvary. Never be ashamed of what God has done for us, because it's through the Holy Spirit that we live for Him. And let us not only be willing to live for Him, but we will die for Him, praising His holy name. Heavenly Father, I pray that You would watch over us and keep us, that You will keep us in Your glory, that our names are written in heaven, that our names are there forever, and we will hear You say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Yes, O Lord, help us to praise You, and help us to know that our names are written in heaven because You died on Calvary's cross for us. In Jesus' name, amen.